It is still remarkable to me that a piece of film can radiate so much energy and immediacy after so many years. I really often wonder what it would have been like to have movies of Buddha or Christ or Moses or any of the great saints and teachers. But I have a feeling it wouldn't be a lot different than watching this. I think we tend to idealize our teachers. And it dawned on me a year or so ago that Buddha went to the bathroom and that he got tired and had students who made him crazy and liked certain food and not other food. We don't think about that. We think of Buddha or Jesus as being somehow pure and not human, somehow beyond human. And what is, I believe, the most important element of having a teacher like Rudy is that he shows us that teachers and great souls are very human. And somehow, in his incredible humanity, he was able to connect to and connect all of us to that which is transcendent of human experience. Every year I sit here and I watch this film and I try to understand how it is that all these forces came into play that made this movie possible. And of course, you can't ever really trace it back to any particular point in time or any beginning. I mean, I know the people responsible for this and I know why it happened, but the fact that it happened and the fact that all these years later we sit here and are able to feel this emanation of true spiritual energy just wafting off of the television to everybody in the room. And that piece of found footage at the end, nobody knows where it came from. Nobody. It just appeared. And it is an extraordinary opportunity to watch somebody work, to truly, bless you, to truly work themselves, to open to what is. You actually feel him opening and opening and opening and opening. And in his opening, we are all opened. Each of us experiences our own opening. And if you don't feel that opening, often what you will feel, and I have had this for many times, you'll feel your closeness, which is just as valuable as feeling open. Because to recognize that you're closed is a prerequisite for recognizing the capability of being open. So if you sit in the presence of someone like Rudy, and your heart gets tight, or your neck gets tight, or you wish you were somewhere else, or all you're thinking about is dinner, something in you is closing to that. And if you can be aware of the very thing that is closing, you have a ticket to the thing that opens. If you don't get afraid of your own closing, if you don't run from it, if you don't pretend, oh, this isn't really my problem, you know, it's just, you know, I'm tired, there was so much traffic over on the way here. If you just say, I am closed to this energy, the mere fact of saying that presents you to the possibility of, and even the actuality of, opening. And then when you open, what you feel is not some supernatural connectivity to some higher universal space. What you feel is completely at home, completely in yourself. You just feel, ah. And in that, you connect to the incredible comfort of existence. Because everybody is searching for something other, they don't recognize the very thing that is. The universe is not about something other. It is about this very thing now. What you're feeling now is so amazingly real. Whatever you're feeling, you're all sitting here with your own series of feelings. What you're feeling is real. Whether it's a good feeling or a bad feeling, or an open feeling or a closed feeling, or joyous or not joyous, it doesn't matter. It's what you're feeling. Your body, your mind has somehow given you this, and the moment you go, ha, this is what I'm feeling, there is a slit in time that opens you up to infinite simplicity. And you just go, okay. You're not fighting what you are, you're embracing it. You're not fighting life, you're going, this is life. And life is always what it is. And you can never tell what it's going to be. You come to this gathering and you think, well, I should be in a state of total joy and happiness, and you're not. And you go, what's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. You're just not in a place of total joy and happiness. But the minute you accept you're not in a place of total joy and happiness, you're fine. Oh, I'm not joyous. It's only the mind that gives you trouble. And once the mind is diminished, in other words, once you're able to observe the mind and it shrinks away and hides, what you experience is everything Rudy was radiating from that television screen. And the truth is, the thing that was radiating from the screen is radiating all the time. Whether Rudy's on the television or not, whether you're in the bathroom or whether you're in the car on the stuck on the freeway, it is radiating. The great thing about facing this moment with Rudy once a year is that you get to taste it direct. You just go, I get it. A couple of years after this was made, Rudy died in an airplane crash. I think most of you know the story. Bo was the pilot of the plane and, in a sense, took Rudy to his rest, if you will, to this place of finality. On some level, one has to think of this as being probably one of the great burdens in the universe, to have taken your teacher beyond this world. And it's also one of the great undertakings of any human being to serve that function. And I feel every year when I sit with Bo watching this movie, so honored to be part of that presence, to be part of that energy, which you all know is not an easy energy to live with. And yet Bo lives with it with a kind of grace and a kind of depth that I don't think many people could handle. Somebody needed to take Rudy to that space. And I would never have volunteered for that. I'm not sure Bo would have volunteered for it. But Rudy chose Bo to let him take him there. The plane crashed, three other people on the plane survived, and Rudy did not. Rudy told us when he died, his heart would shatter into a million pieces and explode into the universe. And that's exactly what happened. The plane crashed into the side of a mountain, and Rudy's chest was crushed, and he bore the entire brunt of that accident, and everyone else walked away. Amazing. except for Rudy. I remember the day that that happened very vividly. I think I've told you all of this, but I went to work that day. I was working at the Whitney Museum, and a friend named Brian De Palma, who's a director, came for lunch, and Brian and I sat and talked at lunch, and all I could talk about was Rudy. And all I talked about was the talk that Rudy had given the night before, and that Rudy had given us a talk, his last talk, which was, what do you do when someone dies? And he said, the only thing you do when someone dies is to send all of your love into the void that they leave behind, and it becomes the conduit that lifts their spirit and sends it on its way. He told us what to do. He had gathered all of his students, all of his teachers together, and told some of them, I was not one of them, that he was going to die in an airplane crash. He was about to go to Europe 2 days later, and I'm sure he thought that was the crash. But then he'd been asked to come give a talk upstate New York, and he asked Bo to fly him to do this, to this talk. And that was the crash that got him. But all the teachers had come to New York. They had gathered together, knowing this was going to happen. I got on a subway to come down to teach my Hatha yoga class at the ashram, and I sat down in the subway, and I said, Rudy's dead. I had no reason to think that or know that at all. I just said, Rudy's dead. And I got off the subway, and I walked down from 14th Street to 10th Street, and I'm walking by, and in the store just below the ashram house, which was one of the shops that Rudy had put together called Quintessence, I see all these people gathered, and of course I knew why they were gathered. And I walked into the shop, and Jason Liu looked at me, and he said exactly what I knew. He said, Rudy's dead. And then he held me, and my body just started to spasm all over the place. And Jason just held me and held me and held me. And then I finally got my energy back together, and I had to go teach a class. And most of the people did not know and were not going to be told until the actual class that evening. So I went in and taught a Hatha yoga class in which I worked my ass off to stay open and available to the needs of the people, knowing they didn't know what I knew, and to prepare them even for what news they were going to receive shortly after. And then we went to the class, and we were told again en masse that Rudy had died. And for most people, it was wailing and sobbing. And I don't know why I didn't wail and sob. I just couldn't figure it out. But after the class, everybody went upstairs, as we often do, to sit together. And I just stayed down in the meditation room by myself. And I kept bowing down to the space Rudy left behind. And suddenly Rudy came. He just came behind me. And I just felt this amazing embrace of Rudy. And I knew then, as I had known before he died, that in a sense there was no such thing as death. That Rudy was no longer with us in any material sense, but he was among us, and he was filling me up. And I went upstairs to sit with everybody, filled with this feeling and awareness. And the doorbell rang. And for some reason, I was the one nearest the door, so I went to go answer the door. And I go there, and Rudy's mother's coming up the stairs. And she's shrieking. And I go to help her, and she just throws her arms back and starts to try to throw herself down the stairs. And I'm holding onto the staircase as best I can and trying to help her up the stairs into the room where many people came to gather her and to be with her. And then the doorbell rang again. And I went to the door, and it was Bo. And I was upstairs, and Bo was downstairs. And my heart just broke open at the incredible courage, I thought, that it took for Bo to come there. And I just ran down the stairs, and Bo came up the stairs, and I remember hugging him. And then we went upstairs together, and I knew my life changed completely at that moment, and I knew Bo's life changed completely. That nothing would ever be the same. But I did also know that Rudy, in leaving, gave us our lives. He gave us our spiritual lives. Nothing was taken away. Everything was given. The departure of a teacher is, on some level, a loss, but mostly it's a gain, because he leaves you with yourself. And that self has been the growing and expanding part of my being. And to this moment, I feel an endless, infinite gratitude to Rudy for having given me the gift of this practice, the gift of spiritual awakening, and the ability to share it with you, to talk about it with you, and to show you, after all these years, year after year, this extraordinary film. So, I thank you all, as I always do, for coming and for being here, because it helps me to honor Rudy by bringing more people to honor him. And I thank you for your being here. And I will leave you with one last thing, because every year I tell you the story of how I met Rudy, which is, you know, at this point, hard to repeat that people have heard it 40 times, but there's a little difference this year. Every year I tell you the story of how I came into Rudy's shop looking to buy a Buddha, and I had $5. And he had a shop where Buddhas were $100,000, $10,000, you know, but I had $5. And I go over to this case when I walk in with all these little Buddhas, and I see one Buddha that I really was very attracted to, but it was broken. The base was broken. And I said, forget that one. And I kept looking, and I couldn't find it. And then I went over to Rudy, who's sitting at the desk, and he said, what can I do for you? And I said, I'm looking to buy a Buddha. He said, wonderful. How much do you want to spend? I said, $5. He didn't even flinch. He said, well, come over here. And he goes over to the little cabinet, and he opens up the glass top, and he pulls out the broken Buddha. And he gives it to me, and he says, here, $5. And I said, well, you know, I looked at that one before, but it's broken. And he said, look for perfection in yourself, not in external objects. And I said, oh, that's a great sales pitch. And I gave him the $5, and I took the Buddha home. And the difference today is, it's right here. This is him. And I brought it for all of you to see. This is a tiny little Buddha that began my entire spiritual life with Rudy. And, you know, after this, I took this Buddha as I traveled around the world looking to find a teacher. And I spent a year and a half looking from one teacher to another throughout Asia, in India and Nepal and China, not China, but Japan, everywhere. And I never found who I was looking for. And, of course, when I came back to America, I remember Rudy's shop, and I walked in there one day, and he asked what I've been doing. I said, I was in India. And he said, why? And I said, looking for a teacher. And he said, did you find one? I said, no. He said, well, you know, I can teach you everything you want to know. And I absolutely, completely knew that was true. And if I hadn't met this little guy and carried him with me, I don't know if I would have walked back into Rudy's shop. I don't know if I would have traveled all around the world to walk those 4 blocks from Bank Street to 7th Avenue, which is what was necessary. I mean, the magic of traveling literally around the world to go 4 blocks is an extraordinary thing. I mean, it's like you have to somehow be either crazy or you earn the right in that movement to get what you're waiting for. And I was waiting for Rudy. Anyway, this is him, and I'll leave him up here if any of you want to see him, hold him, touch him. He's still broken. And he's still...
What year was that?
This year, the year that this was, 1965 was when I bought this. And 1967 is when I was back and met Rudy. So, anyway, again, thank you. And now we have to do this logistical thing of serving dinner for all of you who are hungry. We need to do two things. One is to move all of the chairs away from the table so we can pull the table back under that lamp. Then we just have to put out the rest of the food. And those of you who move the table have to be very careful to move it with the support underneath it and not from the top where it will lift off. And then we'll serve dinner. And please enjoy. We have an unbelievable amount of food, so please eat a lot. And we have even more desserts, so save room for the desserts. And enjoy. And thank you again all for coming.